Let us pray together. Lord, we who are dust and ashes dare to come into your presence and ask for what we need. And what we need is for you to teach us to pray. And so, Lord Jesus, please come, be our teacher by the power of your Holy Spirit, and teach us to pray. In Christ's name, amen. A number of years ago, Becca, my wife, and I were visiting my sister in Las Vegas, and we went to a Cirque du Soleil show, which is like a very fancy acrobatics thing. That's a very simple way to put it. They like drop people from like hundreds of feet up into pools inside. It's very wild. And 3/4 of the way through this performance, and maybe this won't be surprising to some of us in the room, I found myself crying. Like, not weeping, but like leaning in that direction. Like, if I really wanted to, if I was like maybe by myself, you know, it would be like, I was crying. I was so overwhelmed with how beautiful and like the excellence of their performance and how much effort it took to do everything they were doing that I was just overwhelmed. And I was just crying. And those tears began to also be mixed with a little bit of sadness as I sat there and I thought about how infrequently, or at least as highly emotively inspired I am by the performance of Christ. When in reality, in terms of the events of human history, the performance of a human being in the earth, no one has been more excellent and perfect and good than the person of Jesus. If we had eyes to see and ears to hear, we would be moved to tears. What we've looked at the last 2 weeks is that this perfection of humanity in the earth, this life of Christ that he's been living, has been this good Samaritan of radical neighbor love that we looked at 2 weeks ago. And also in terms of last week, of what Mary showed us, that Christ himself is the one worthy of our highest priority and affection and devotion. And what we see in our gospel reading today is people who have been moved by Jesus. People who have been moved by Jesus. Disciples who take the initiative to be with him and to want to be like him. Convinced of this kind of purpose of neighbor love, convinced of this priority of a first love devotion to God through Christ, these disciples, they want in on the party. They don't want to just behold heaven on earth through Christ. They want to participate in heaven on earth through Christ. They want to be a part of this work of God. Witnessing this life of Jesus, they're drawn in. And what they witness, what we're told in particular today in our gospel reading, is the life of prayer. That Jesus is praying in a certain place. And this life of prayer is how Jesus lives heaven on earth. And so the disciples, in one of their better moments, this is like the disciples at their best. This is their shining time. They do one of their most mighty acts of faith in this reading. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. That's like their best moment. This humble, learning, longing posture is where power for the kingdom is found. Lord, teach us to pray. And so, like we already said, our passage begins, if you are following along in the worship guide and your Bibles, this is Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. It begins with Jesus praying in a certain place. And Luke records it in that way for the witness of the whole church, not just for the initial kind of first eyewitness generation, but for all of us, the whole church, no doubt, because he knows that Jesus continues to pray in a certain place. In one sense, prayer is the primary aspect of Jesus' ministry that he never actually gives up. His teaching ministry, to a certain extent, comes to an end. You could argue otherwise, maybe. But his suffering obedience, his sacrifice for sin, his resurrection from the dead, all of these conclude. They are, as in John's gospel says, finished. It is finished. These are finished works of ministry. But Jesus' ministry of prayer does not finish. Jesus' prayer life continues in a certain place as he ascends to the right hand of God. And in that certain place, he continues to pray right now. He continues to pray that his inheritance that he has earned for the people of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, would be poured out on the people of God, for those who choose to sit at the feet of him who prays in a certain place. And so our prayer happens in the prayer of Christ. Our prayer life is joining Jesus in his prayer life in a certain place at the right hand of the Father. And that is good news for wayward, weary people like us. That we're not trying to start something new. We are joining in on a ministry that Christ never gives up. That he is the true citizen, the perfect friend, the true beloved of God, who endures ceaselessly for all the purposes of God in the earth. And we're joining him in the party. And so as we've already alluded to in this today and looking at this text, this portion of the gospel is in relationship with what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. It's all grouped together in Luke's gospel for us. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the purpose of the kingdom and this call to fulfill the second commandment as good Samaritans through radical neighbor love. It doesn't matter who your neighbor is. It matters who you are to your neighbor in living compassionate charity to them, being a neighbor. And then last week, we looked at how that second commandment, purpose of neighbor love, doesn't dethrone the first and greatest commandment of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that Christ himself is worthy of our first love, highest devotion. And so we have this first and second commandment demonstrated for us. And now in this third part of the series, we're not just looking at the purpose of the kingdom and neighbor love or the priority of the kingdom and first commandment, first love to God. We're looking at the power of the kingdom, how it is we actually live into the first and second commandment by the grace of God. And the power of the kingdom is in prayer. It's not that prayer itself is powerful, but it accesses the power of God to live into the love of God and love of neighbor in the earth, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we've actually looked at this gospel text a couple of times. I'm always curious at like what people remember in terms of, this is like the third time I've preached on Luke 11, actually. I don't think you knew that. I love this text. It's such a central text in the Gospel of Luke, in the life of the people of God. And I'm joining in the Apostle Peter in his second letter, you know, where he says, no problem for me. It's profitable for you if I just tell you the same things, okay? So here we are looking at the same text again. And I think if we knew how to understand things, if we really knew how prayer worked, at least the way that Jesus teaches us to pray, I think it would alleviate a lot of confusion and a lot of heaviness in daily life. Because I don't think the difficulty is in like the stringency of this teaching. Like anyone can do this. The difficulty is more like what my sixth grade teacher wrote on my test as she handed it back to me for a retake. And on the top of the paper, it read, "Read the directions. Read the directions." In the school of prayer, we really struggle to read the directions or remember the directions. We are ever immature learners, humbling ourselves before a patient Lord to welcome us into the life of the kingdom. You know, it's not really our true nature in and of ourselves to follow directions, right? I'm going to go my direction. Lord's like, I promise, read the directions. I'm really in your corner on this one. And one of the large directions here that kind of forms this whole, the whole context of this teaching, is that prayer is not vending machine snacks for trying to be spiritual or a little bit better. Prayer is the relational meat and potatoes of life. It is our life. It is how we live in the kingdom. Power in the kingdom happens in relationship in the kingdom, as citizens of God, as friends of God, as beloved children of God. Those are the relational definitions that Jesus actually gives us in this teaching. That we are in his kingdom, learning the way of the kingdom in the Lord's Prayer. That we are friends of God, walking with God in God's provision down that road, that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, that he knows what's best and wants to give us what's best for us. And so the very assumption of prayer is that it's relational, that it is communication, that it is relationship in the kingdom. This is our Father. It's communal in all the people of God in the prayer life of Jesus at the feet of the throne of grace. And so it's not a vending machine or a vitamin. It is meat and potatoes. It is life for us. And I want to briefly sketch out for the remainder of our time just this, how this prayer shakes itself out. And then I want to close with some practical things for us in living out this practice of prayer together. And so as I've already mentioned before, we have three different relational categories here. If you're following along in the text, it kind of breaks down, I think, of verses like 1 to 3 of the Lord's Prayer, which is like our citizens living in the citizen in the kingdom of God. Verses 3 to 10 are about being friends with God, asking provision, and then verses 11 to 13 are being beloved children of God. And so we have these three parts here. The first part is called, what do we usually call this? Just make sure you're awake. I heard it, I think. The Lord's Prayer. That's right. We call it the Lord's Prayer, as it's been called. The Lord's Prayer offers us the framework and content of prayer. It's like the infrastructure of citizenship. These are the roads that we walk down in prayer so that we don't end up in the wrong place or lost or in a ditch somewhere. This is the road. Stick to it. Follow the directions. Read the directions. It's there. It's there. Follow the directions. Second is this encouragement to be bold, to not give up, because God's not a Scrooge. God's a friend. And then third, again, this finally being in the family of God, that we're given the true prize of what prayer gives us, which is God himself. The fullness of God's presence and power and the gift of the Holy Spirit with us. And so if we are in any way like these disciples, drawn in, captivated by the person of Jesus, and wanting to be with him and like him in the world, we do that through prayer. And so in this first part of being citizens, Jesus is acting like a leading expert and authority on life with God. Rightly so. We're taught to be citizens in what we ask for. Again, this is the road of prayer. This is the way in which we are to walk. The Lord's Prayer. And it's not about exact wording. If you read different, even in the Gospels, it is worded differently. These words are not magic. but it's about the reality that they're pointing us to, the directions of who God is, who God has made us to be, and how God has called us to live in the world and seek his kingdom. This is the direction we are to go. And the first part of these directions say, Father, hallowed be your name. And what that shows us about this road is that God is king and we are not. That we are under God in this kingdom. We're citizens in this kingdom. We're made in God's image, which means we have agency and authority, that we participate in his creative acts in the earth of heaven's purposes coming on earth. But we don't make the rules, and we are not the ruler, even if we're ruling under the ruler. You can clarify that later. But we are not the rulers, and this is actually really good news. We don't have to make up a world, and we don't have to make up ourselves. We can live in the world in the self that God has given us. This is relieving news for modern people like us in particular. That we're called to know a God who is bigger than us, who is God regardless of whether we decide that he is God or not. And that it's actually the highest priority and highest healing of earth to seek God's honor in this way. Just like if you removed the sun from the center of the orbits of the planets and chaos would ensue, so too in removing God, in hallowing and not hallowing God's name in this world of brokenness and sin, what we're asking for is the right ordering of all things when we ask for God's name to be hallowed and honored. That we ourselves and everything else would take its rightful place around the one who made it all and knows us best and wants what's best for us. That we are seeking the first healing of ourselves in seeking the hallowing and holiness of God's name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so as citizens in this restored kingdom, in this relationship with God, around God's glory, everything then becomes an opportunity for heaven to heal earth. For God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we plead for this kingdom. We seek first his kingdom, not our kingdom, not our glory, but his kingdom and his glory. And in this kingdom, God provides for his citizens. God gives daily bread. The quick summary that I'll offer for that, that I think is helpful for me in living it out, is that God is going to provide every day for everything that God is asking us to do. God is giving us everything we need to do everything he is asking us to do. And so we seek to receive that daily bread, even when it comes in ways that we do not desire in ourselves. And so being around God's glory, seeking God's will, living God's provision, thank you, is then living out those purposes together, which apparently it can be summarized just in two ways, merciful and holy, that we would be forgiving and that we would not fall into temptation. And we would be merciful persons in the earth and holy persons in the earth. As we've been forgiven in Christ, which is in every way not deserved or demanded, but freely bestowed in the grace of God, we extend that to those around us. And in holiness, we arm ourselves with a mindset of it's better to suffer than to sin, because that's the way of Christ. Lead us not in temptation. So this is a very different kind of people, a very different kind of citizenship in the world where we are not God, where we always have purposes in the world because heaven's always trying to bust in and bring healing grace into the world, where there is enough every day to do everything that heaven is willing for us to do on earth, where every offense and hurt is forgiven, where it's left at the foot of the cross, where we reject pride and self-gratification, offering our bodies and lives in holiness to God and in service to others. This is the road of prayer. Read the directions. Go this direction. You end up in the New Jerusalem, in God's presence. But it's not just knowing the roads, it's actively going down the roads. And so that's the second part here. And these last two that I'm are much shorter. I wanted to spend a lot more time on the Lord's Prayer. And so we stay on this road by being friends with God. The way that we stay on the road is being friends with God. That's the relational environment of that next part of Jesus' teaching where he tells the story about a friend who has a friend who comes. He goes to another friend at midnight and he like bangs on the door and he's like, "Hey, give me your food. I need food." And he's like, "No, be quiet." And he's like, but he gave it to him because he was banging on his door and being annoying. That's the story. And Jesus, the reason he tells it like that is because he's like, y'all, God's way better than that guy. God is way better than the best friend you've ever had. And I know that's so hard to believe sometimes because the world is a hard, broken place. But our Heavenly Father is good. And when he's done with us, he will heal us in all things. And so we ask and we keep asking, we knock and we keep knocking, we seek and we keep seeking God's glory, God's will, God's provision, God's mercy, God's holiness in and through our lives. That's the directions. We are bold and persistent, walking with God who walks with us. And then lastly, this family connection, this being God's beloved, walking as God's children, that God is actually our first family connection that precedes, that comes before all other family ties, whose image we bear, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows what's best for us and wills what's best for us in Christ. And what God wills for us in Christ is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no other answer to prayer than the gift of the Holy Spirit. There might be ways in which the Spirit answers and moves differently in our lives, but the Holy Spirit, God's power and presence in and through our lives, is always the best answer and prize we can receive. It's always God willing his best for us to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God's presence with us, empowering us to be his people in the world, to be his beloved children. The Holy Spirit casting the love of God abroad into our hearts as his children, walking as bold friends in the earth as we seek as citizens to live for God's glory, will, provision, mercy, and holiness in the earth. So if I was going to put all this together from the last 3 weeks, someone might choose words like this. Maybe you've heard these words before. One way of piecing all this together is we want to be a community. God wills his church to be a community that's captivated by the glory of Christ, like sitting at the feet of Jesus and Mary, such that we're compelled to live for the glory of God, the good of our neighbors, and the joy of our nation, the joy of the nations, and good Samaritan neighbor love, which can only be done through a life of holy love as we seek it in pausing to pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That might be a value of a local church that you could be a part of. That's our vision and values, for those of you who don't know. And so as a community seeking to live that life together, captivated by Christ, compelled by him into the world, and then pausing to pray in our values of holy love, I'm going to skip some things and just arrive at my last point. There are so many ways that we seek to pause to pray, that we seek the empowerment of the kingdom together. If you spend time and just think about our service of worship, it is just prayer all the way through, right? Like, and we're meant to see it that way. We're meant to lean into that, to fan into flame, to leverage the prayers of the people of God, to lean into the kingdom, to know that that's the place of power, of living into the life of God has for us and loving God and loving neighbor. And so I just commend to us to consider how much prayer saturates our service, our life in general, and leverage those things, lean into those things. Let us be a people who over coffee and tennis and whatever ways become a people of prayer, joining Jesus in his prayer life. And the one thing that I want to put on our radar coming up in terms of very practical thing, as I sat with this and I've kind of sat with this long calling of prayer in my life, oftentimes when I've had those moments, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Pray. Thanks. Good one, God. When I say that, I mean the impression of, you know, the spirit on my heart in that way. Different times when I've offered to the Lord, like, Lord, should I like go do higher education and like get a PhD somewhere? And he's like, you know what, Todd? I want you to get a PhD in prayer. Thanks, Lord. Thank you for that. Well received. Read the directions. Sixth grade. I'm on it. And so in light of all of that, as I've just seek to offer my life before the Lord, I want to invite all of us to join in the month of October for intercessory prayer together. And so the way that we're going to do this, and again, this is, there's nothing perfect about this. I just know that I want to be praying more with people. And so on Mondays, I'm going to host a Zoom call and we're going to intercede in prayer together in the month of August. And it's going to be from 12 to 12:30, 30 minutes. Hop on. I'll guide us through different intercession prayer for that season. It also feels like a valuable moment and kind of just the life of ministry that we're in here at Restoration and just be more in prayer together. And so Mondays at noon in the month of August, so not tomorrow, but starting the next week, I'll send out more information about it. But I hope that you will join me in prayer. No pressure to, but I really want to seek the power of the kingdom together. And I know we do that in so many other ways, but I hope that this intercessory prayer transforms into something in the long run, you know, in a more consistent way. But you got to start somewhere. And so we're starting today with Lord, teach us to pray. And then we're continuing in seeking deeper in the life of prayer next Monday and the following Mondays after that. So be on the lookout for more information. That's as practical of a sermon application as you can get. You don't have to do it, but it's there for you. All right? Okay. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much that you pray in a certain place, that you continue in prayer, that you are enthroned at the right hand of God, and you are pleading the victory of your suffering over your people, that we might walk in the inheritance of the riches of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be a people that love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And you will see to it, Lord, your prayers will carry us through into the fulfillment of your commandments. And we are grateful. Thank you for the purchase of your suffering. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Please fill us, anoint us to be a community and people of prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name.